Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hola.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball.
Are our mics working? I'm concerned.
No, they were. the sound test had like an odd amount of noise in it.
Oh, okay.
So I was making sure that there wasn't a mix up somewhere.
Because like I was gonna do a double check, and I was like, no, I know for a fact I plugged that into your computer.
Yeah,
no,
I saw it happen. And I mean, things adjusted when I messed with the soundboard. It was just like I said, the moment of silence had an odd amount of sound in it.
Oh,
so. View under the hood, listeners. Terry Crews, one of my favorite human beings, and Ludacris is going to star in a John Henry movie. Yes, the folk hero, John Henry, the steel-driving man.
Yeah, you better explain it, because some people ain't going to know who it is.
I wildly misunderstood.
Oh, that why?
Yeah. Are you serious?
No, I thought it was John Henry Irons.
Oh, no.
I thought they were making a steel movie starring Terry Crews and Ludacris.
That would have been way better.
Which makes a lot of, in my defense, that makes a lot of sense, but my brain totally skipped over John
Henry. See, I went to John Folk Henry. Tale, but that's because I live in fairy tale land. So.
That's entirely fair. See, the superhero version would have been a whole lot better than what we're getting. Guess the genre that this film is going to be.
This is
going to
be a comedy, isn't it?
No, it's not a comedy.
Action movie?
Drama.
Nope.
No, action. Nope. No. I want like Expendables level action.
That would be
movie.
Awesome. Nope.
What is it?
All right, Asa, your guess.
They've named them all.
Is it a rom-com?
It's a thriller.
What?
I censored it.
We got a psycho killer?
I don't know.
Who is producing this?
I'm honestly not sure. But I don't know how we're getting.
Are they feeling okay? Because I don't think they're in their right mind.
You have Terry Crews and Ludacris, and this isn't a comedy. Both of them are objectively, objectively hilarious people. Why not both? You could give us both.
I would absolutely take a buddy comedy starring Terry Crews and Ludacris. Yes, please.
In just any time era. It would be amazing. I love both those people.
But no, we're getting a thriller about John Henry.
I mean, I'm totally.
The steel driving man.
How is Ludacris going to make a song for this movie?
I mean, he can.
I mean, yo, and he will, and it'll be great, and I'll love it, but...
I'm told, I like the idea of a John Henry movie. I just... Yeah, I don't know how you make it as a thriller.
I don't either.
The machine's going to be a psycho murderer.
Maybe they're
going
to get run over by a psycho train.
Because the ending isn't exactly happy for John Henry.
No. Ooh.
So,
spoiler alert.
Right? If you don't know this old American folktale.
You did not pay attention.
A lot of people don't.
You did not pay attention in fifth grade. Or they stopped teaching it, one or the other.
That is more likely.
Probably they stopped teaching it.
It's a lot more likely.
Damn you, Common Core.
But yeah, that's happening. Jason Momoa and Corin Hardy, the previous star and director, have exited the Crow remake. So that's the second time Corin Hardy has exited a Crow movie.
And what took him to re-sign on was signing Jason Momoa.
Yeah, and Jason Momoa exited, so yeah, it's dead again.
I see, and I don't even know if, I can't say that it's dead just because it wasn't, creative differences that made them leave.
Mm.
It was... Sony, apparently it was financial disputes between the director and the studio, which makes it sound like, okay, Sony didn't want to pay as much money as they wanted
to spend
to make this movie good. So Sony retains the rights to it because that was a thing that happened a lot. Between him leaving the last time and him re-signing is when Sony picked up the rights to the movie.
Yeah, because it was to a... Yeah, they had a hold over their
studio. I don't remember who the other studio was, but they... So they, whenever he left, they just released the property. Sony snagged it up, signed Jason Momoa, and then brought him back.
Right.
Corin. So, but now Sony still, as far as we know, still holds on to that property. So
yeah,
still
they absolutely do. It could have a new creative team.
Yeah.
And Corin Hardy might sign on again, because he desperately wants this remake to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just... It's seeming really, really unlikely. There's some pictures out there of Jason Momoa in the makeup. That's pretty awesome, and you guys should look up.
Yes.
It
looks...
It makes me really sad that this movie's not happening.
If it's what you shared, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that is a thing that's really unfortunate. Another casting news on the opposite end of that, Jamie Foxx has been cast as Spawn in the upcoming remake.
Why?
Huh?
Why not?
Because... You know my answer.
Okay.
I genuinely don't.
Because yeah. Michael Jai White is still alive and still looks the exact same.
Okay.
I mean, that's mean, fair. I was going to make that joke that Michael Jai White could have reprised his role, and he... I mean, they also made him look like older in that because, you know, the burns.
Well, then see,
you wouldn't
even have to worry about it.
Yeah, no, they absolutely could have gotten Michael Jai White back.
Especially when you consider that you said that this isn't going to be a origin story for Spawn. This right. is going to be just like a full-on sequel.
Well,
not necessarily sequel, but it's a...
Spawn has been active.
Yeah.
Like, basically, I'm guessing the origin... They're accepting that everyone knows the origin story, either from the first movie or from the comic books.
Which...
And this is just going to be a Spawn movie.
For the amount of origin stories we've gotten out of both Batman and Spider-Man, who are heroes I feel like arguably everyone is familiar with.
Yeah.
I don't know if you take that same chance with Spawn.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the Spawn movies. I've read some of the Spawn comics. I'm not a gun to my head, I'm not 100% sure I know the entirety of his origin story.
I don't.
It's like he sold his soul to the devil to get revenge on the people who murdered his wife?
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Crow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and also, well, okay. No.
There's other stuff to it. Like,
yeah, but like, I mean, yeah, that's the gist
of it. Because he has a child, and the child's very much okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the child's in, like, foster care.
Foster care, because that was the whole part of Spawn 1. You kept seeing his daughter. Wait a minute, his wife was in there, too.
No, the wife is dead.
Why do I remember a woman in those movies, then?
Because there were frequent flashbacks to it.
Oh, okay, thank you. Again, granted, it's been 20 years since I've seen this movie.
It's been a really long time since I've seen Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember turning it on the other day to watch in the background, let's say the other day, when they added it to Netflix, like, several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that Michael Jai White was Spawn in that movie. And I'm like, my lord. You have not aged a day.
And again, no offense to Jamie Foxx at all. But the option, the correct one, is still breathing, still doing movies all the time. Trust me. Hastings, that dude is in movies all the time.
Unless he didn't want to be in another Spawn movie.
Yeah. And also, like, in complete fairness here, we're not going to get a whole lot of Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, this is going to be...
This is going to be like 90% CG.
Oh, unless they do the like Ghost Rider thing where you only see Spawn like 5% of the movie.
Nobody's going to make that mistake again.
Oh, sweet baby. Is Sony making this movie?
I don't think so. Boy, I hope not.
Because that would be the movie Sony makes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who made Assassin's Creed? Didn't they do something similar with the Assassin's Creed movie? Where only like... 20 minutes of the hour and a half
was actually in the Assassin.
Yeah.
I don't remember who made that. I know... Was it Sony that did that movie?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't care enough about Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, Michael J... And again, this is me being on IMDb and just looking at stuff. Michael Jai White, 50 years old. Jamie Foxx, 50 years old. There is a one-month age difference between them. Michael Jai White... is younger.
Yeah, and neither of them look remotely near close to 50.
50, yeah.
Nope.
But, like, and again, Jamie Foxx is, like, I like most of the movies that I've seen him in, and I have a feeling he'll do a really good job in this movie. It's just...
Because it's honestly going to be more voice acting than it will be actual acting.
Yeah.
Which, unpopular opinion, maybe, as much as I very much disliked the second Amazing Spider-Man, Jamie Foxx's Electro was nowhere near the top of the list of problems. Like,
yeah,
I really dug him as Electro, especially because I like that they went the Ultimate Universe version of Electro too.
Because that outfit would look really crapped on like the fight scene that Electro had. That was really like the dubsteppy almost fight scene. I enjoyed it.
I loved it.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, and wait a minute. We're at the right table right now. Yes.
Well, no, we're still, it's just me and you, baby.
That's fine, but we're at the table for it. Itsy Bitsy Spider. It's stupid. I understand it's dumb. Loved it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I cannot rationalize. It's the same thing with like the Fast and the Furious movies. I understand I'm wrong, but boy, did I love it.
I watched the last...
Boom!
I watched the last 10 minutes of the last one because I went over to Jesse's house and that's what he was finishing up. It's the only one I've seen since like 2.
Yeah.
so he's having to like explain all of these intricate. All of these like character arcs.
So you were having that, who's that? Why are they doing that?
I still, not like that. I was just like, okay, so Jason Statham's a good guy now? Yes and no. It's like, that's way too ambitious of storytelling for this franchise.
So you're not wrong.
So you didn't reach mom level are they doing that?
I will say, I gave them the best idea they could ever use in that cheesy, like, everything's great rooftop scene mm-hmm. at the end. Why there weren't UFOs start blowing up the city. I like that was a perfect opportunity in a wonderful place that the franchise could have gone.
Michael Bay wasn't involved.
You wouldn't be able to tell.
Spaceship rolling on 20s. It just would have been a. I don't know why I went too Fast and Furious with that, where the cars are just completely.
That's a heat-seeking missile coming at us from a mile away. I know that.
it's special equipment. Listen, we are not going to break down the Fast and the Furious movies on
There's
the show.
There's a lot of
Tuesday Nerds for Hire.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to it if we did a movie show, but
about the Fast and the Furious franchise, of which I'm the only one that's watched all of.
Firsthand, I'm like two away from being caught up.
All right. I'm still right.
Yeah. But I've watched way more than Asa.
Yeah.
The cast of the Furious.
Okay. As much as I love that idea,
we have like eight solid episodes, and then we're really gonna have to start stretching for stuff. What kind of cars did they use? Well, they were mainly Mitsubishis for like the first two or three, and then, no.
I mean, in fairness, for the first like three films, most of the cars that you saw weren't the actual cars. They were really cheap cars with plastic bodies of really expensive cars around it. Like they literally had like Ford Tauruses out there.
The back, yeah, they did.
Dodge Charger shells on them.
The like special features of those first couple original movies are hilarious for that. Be like, yes, we have these. Because like some
have
of the cars.
Seen the special features
of the Fast
and the Furious movies. Got him. No, Asa got broken with the Ford Taurus bit. Like you did, we just kind of kept getting worse.
Wow.
All right. So anyway.
Talk to Lindsay for a second.
So Silver and Black is being rewritten.
Oh, speaking of jokes.
Yeah, going back to the Sony stuff here. Sony has completely lost control of this one, too. And it no longer has a release date. The director says the script's just not right yet. So.
No. And it's not going to be. I'm holding out hope that, like, Marvel and Sony, the deal that Marvel and Sony has put together is, like, way better than we thought it was going to be. So, you know, Tom Holland can show up in Venom, because if we see Tom Holland in Venom, I will remove a lot of my criticisms of that are preconceived criticisms that I have of that movie and even of Silver and Black. But as it stands, I hate the idea of these Spider-Man spinoffs
in
a universe with no Spider-Man.
Yep. No, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Also, speaking of that, semi-related, Marvel has officially made the correct pronunciation of symbiote canon. In Spider-Man number 800, it's a little bit of a throwaway line. Eddie Brock calls J. Jonah Jameson and tries to use a pseudonym, saying, this is Mr. Sim. J. Jonah Jameson's reply is, Eddie Brock, I recognize that voice anywhere. And what a name. Is your first name B. Yote? I liked it a lot. It's now canon that it's symbiote in the Marvel comics.
As it should be.
As of Spider-Man number 800.
But wait, what Spider are we right now?
800?
800.
When does it come out?
Last week.
Yeah. Oh, it already came out. Okay.
Yep. Well, and apparently it is sold out everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah, they're online.
I asked for one to be put in my box already, because I was pretty sure I forgot.
Yay!
Yeah, I've been getting Spider-Man pulled, so I'm hoping that I have a couple of issues in my box with, because there were like eight variants for this one.
Ooh, oh, so I might be able to catch one then if there's extra variants in your box.
Possibly.
Ooh.
But then again, with the way Marvel runs variants, it's very possible that I won't have, like, they won't have even gotten most of them, because mm-hmm. a lot of them are like, you have to order X
issues. You have to order 1,000 issues to get one of these variants.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Marvel does variants dumb.
Yeah, like, a lot of times they'll let you order just, like, however many of, like, cover A and cover B that you want.
But there's extras.
And then, yeah, there are other times where they're like, you have, basically they call them 1 in 25s, one in a hundreds, one in a thousand.
Gotcha.
And those are the ones that end up, like, sometimes they're worth money, sometimes they're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, Marvel does things weird sometimes.
It's a crapshoot depending on the artist and people's, ooh, I want that.
And to have your distributor be Diamond?
Yeah.
Like, doing it that way just seems...
Because there you have, like, a 1 in 10 chance that the book is going to get destroyed in shipping.
Oh, and that's cute.
Being generous.
Oh, you think it's 1 in 10, baby.
That's, no, again, he said I was being generous.
Very generous. So, yeah, that's how that's going out. Legion has been renewed for a third season. FX, apparently it's been really, really popular. I still have not watched any of it.
Me either.
I've heard it's really good. I've heard. I've also heard from a couple people that it's... difficult to follow if you're not really paying attention. It's not a show that you can kind of
just
be doing
on.
You can do something else in the background.
So like, not my usual watching, because I don't know how to sit still and watch something unless I get like completely immersed in it.
Right. Yeah. Like I've been going through Brooklyn Nine, second season of that, but I also had it on in the background while I was reading White Knight.
And I mean,
and I didn't miss, and like every once in a while I would find myself paying more attention to one or the other. But I at no point was missing anything.
Yeah, because it's not like, I mean, that's sitcom.
Yeah.
So it's very much background stuff that you can just kind of like watch. But yeah, no, this just is supposed to be like action mystery.
Cerebral, very like, because it's about Legion, who is a very complicated character to begin with.
Right. It would be kind of like trying to watch Breaking Bad, like in the background of something.
Yeah.
Because you miss, like if you, there's like 5 minutes of silence where like, hours of analytical plot comes from in Breaking Bad.
So it's like me trying to watch subtitled anime while drawing.
Yeah.
That yeah.
yeah. Really well, that's actually a really good way of...
That's actually why I don't like subtitled anime.
I know. I can't do other things at the same time.
Yep. Because I...
Unless I've already watched it.
Because I'm actually really similar to you, and then I have to be completely immersed in order to not be doing something else.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's even just playing a game on my phone.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have a lot of trouble with subtitled anime because obviously I don't speak Japanese, so I have to be paying full attention.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of anime does not require my full attention.
No,
I came here to lead, not to read.
So anyway, and we've also got a new Wreck-It Ralph trailer coming
Woo-hoo!
Monday. Got an announcement, announced poster for that.
I keep seeing all the pictures with Vanellope and all the Disney princesses.
Yes.
This is the one where he, like, they kind of go into the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They break the internet.
Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet is the, the subtitle.
I was about to say, I remember you.
I still
you...
feel so bad for that poor bunny.
Because we talked about that whenever that, like, first little teaser came out.
Yeah.
I just remember hating that name. Yeah.
And then Mandy's going to be upset that she wasn't here for this part. Sonic the Hedgehog movie is coming, starring James Marsden from Westworld.
Oh, and, sir, you mean James Marsden from the first X-Men films.
As Cyclops, yeah.
Hairspray and Hop and some other 90s movies that I don't remember the titles of.
See,
yeah, no, I definitely intentionally left out X-Men. Westworld is the best thing he's done in the last 15 years.
All right.
Enchanted!
Yeah.
He was hilarious in Enchanted.
I haven't seen Enchanted.
He's a solid actor. Yeah, no, he's...
Actually, I will fight all of you. Liz Lemon's husband.
In 30 Rock, I forgot about that.
So this
don't
bit,
at me.
No, that's fair.
So this bit was called a giant middle finger to Jesse.
No, no.
Like, and you. And her. And anyone who did not immediately just be like, oh, yeah.
No, that I honestly completely forgot he was in 30
Rock.
Special
day.
I forgot about that too.
All right, so yeah, he's going to be Sonic the... I don't know if he's going to be Sonic the Hedgehog. I assume when they say he's starring in a Sonic the Hedgehog movie that he's going to be Sonic, but he very well could be playing the role of, like, say, Michael Jordan in Space Jam.
I'm seeing Hop all over again, where he's just the human counterpart to the animated character.
Yeah.
I just want him to play Chris.
No!
The 30 Rock universe and the Sonic the Hedgehog universe.
That would be okay. That would be kind of hilarious,
yes.
Actually.
No, I'd be okay with that. But yeah, no, it's also going to be, because it's going to be live action animation hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, and he very well could be like Sonic is stranded in the real world and James Marsden.
He's crashing in James Marsden's apartment.
And in total fairness, the only time that ever worked for me was Space Jam. As an adult, hate that idea.
Excuse you. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
There you go.
Yes.
Oh,
there it is.
Why are you
unlike
so
Space
wrong?
Jam, that movie still holds up.
Whoa, I mean, I really... firsthand, sir.
Okay, now don't make me switch.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a current animated live action deal that I haven't cringed at completely.
There was Brendan Fraser in the second Looney Tunes live action movie.
No, that, no.
Lego Movie? No. That doesn't really count.
No.
Because you didn't have the...
They weren't like...
They kind of did.
Yeah, they
were not really
on screen at the same time for most of it.
Weren't they like kind of in the background at
they,
the end
yeah,
of
Yeah, they
it?
Were like... You saw...
Like Will Ferrell in the background.
Well, Will Ferrell was in the background, but like you also saw, like, I think... Chris Pratt's character was like walking around on the actual like real life workbench.
Yeah.
But that's,
yeah.
But that wasn't like a full on like plot point
of
merging animation and
yeah.
The two big ones were Space Jam and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are other ones that I'm just not thinking of right now, but
I mean the one that started it, Mary Poppins.
I mean, didn't Fantasia, wasn't that the first one to actually
No,
have
the technical
live
first one were Disney shorts, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, that were black and white and had a little girl and a bunch of cartoon characters.
Yeah.
That's why we have, like, Lindsay around school, all of us in this stuff, huh?
Yeah, I just thought that, I remembered that being, like, a trivia fact, but I guess
I also
it was
had
not.
Completely forgotten about Mary Poppins.
And Bedknobs and Broomsticks. God, I love Bedknobs and Broomsticks. That movie is so good.
I don't even know that
Lindsay's
one.
Going real old school.
Oh, it's so good.
How do you not know? Never mind.
I will.
It's me. That's the answer.
That's why I said never mind.
It's Angela Lansbury versus Julie Andrews.
What? That sounds awesome.
All right.
In so a the cage.
Next... No, not in a cage.
That sounds way more awesome.
Well.
A little bit.
I was going to say there's no cages involved, but there is when they're in the animal world. So.
All right.
I'm currently looking at a cage.
This next podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. You can stop by there for all of your comic book needs, plus cool extra trinkets and action figures and coffee.
They got awesome.
I got tasty chocolate from them yesterday.
That too.
They got like these wood-burned coasters for sale right now, those wall
mounts. Yeah, and the clocks and stuff too.
Yeah, those are super cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have pops, action figures, shirts. All sorts of nerdy stuff.
Yep. And it's all great. And local artist stuff, including art
Mine.
Of that one. Anyway, George R.R. Martin has teased a new book. And this is not technically comic book news, but I couldn't think of what other category to put it in. The website I got it from put it in TV shows, and I got really excited thinking we were getting a spinoff TV show.
Nope.
No,
aren't,
George R. R. Martin.
Isn't there a spinoff? Isn't there already a Game of Thrones spinoff planned?
They're in talks for a couple of spinoffs.
Okay.
But we haven't gotten any information about any of them.
Okay.
So yeah, he's teased his new book, Fire and Blood, set 300 years before the Game of Thrones series, or beginning 300 years, because it actually covers the history of Aegon the Conqueror through Aegon the Third, which are the Targaryen kings. It's about the dragons in Westeros. Yeah, it's real silly that this is the third book that George R. R. Martin has released since book 5 of the series, and we still have no release window for the next book.
It's called He Doesn't Know What He's Gonna Do.
He's waiting for the show to get really far ahead and be like, that was a good idea.
No,
start writing that down.
The problem
last season's
is
next
the
year.
Show is really far ahead. Like, the show is 2 seasons ahead of where the book ended. And honestly, the show writers have done a phenomenal job. George R. R. Martin can just transcribe that to the book and be fine.
Question.
Yes, Dalton.
How many seasons is one book?
We're trying to go 1-to-1.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of kept with that for the first 5 seasons, but there was season 6 still had some of book 5 in it.
Okay.
But then, most of season 6, though, was brand new material.
But season 8 is over, isn't it? Or is season 8 going to be the final season?
I think season 8 is the final season.
Okay.
That lazy... He is literally waiting for these people to write the book for him.
Well, the rumor was that he gave them, like, the Cliff Notes version of what... of how his story was going to end.
He was like, hey, just make sure this character dies. I'll see you later. I'm going to go wait for y'all to finish this so I can write my book.
Well, they've apparently, from people who have read the books who I've talked to, they say that it's maybe not quite as extreme as The Walking Dead, but there have been branching
things.
Like, it's not a one for one, especially with these last, you know, few seasons where, like, the way season 5 ended and the way book 5 ended were not,
cuz there are characters that are still alive that
have died in the books.
Have died in the book and vice versa.
Yeah.
There are also a lot of characters that exist in the books that have not even been mentioned in the show, and at this point won't be because, again,
They're already dead.
They were already killed. And it's a shorter season, isn't it? Isn't it only like 10 episodes?
I think the normal season is 10 episodes. I think this is only supposed to be like, it's supposed to be like 6 episodes, but they're supposed to be longer.
Oh, yeah, because they're supposed to be like 2 hours.
Like a couple of them, I think, are 2 hours, and then like
the finale is going to be like a 3-hour movie.
Or something like that. I think like the first and final episodes are 2 hours, and then every episode in between is an hour and a half.
Oh.
And in the meantime, like, he's writing more stuff that's just not the main series that everybody wants.
Yeah, because I feel like at this point, Martin just knows, like, there's nothing I can write. Like, he really should just transcribe what's happened in the show, because what we've gotten out of the show is way better than what we have in the last two books.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. And when they made the show out of books 4 and 5, those were people's least favorite parts of the TV show. And the ratings had gotten pretty down by the end of season 5. But season 6 was really, really good. And season 7 was awe-inspiring. But yeah, so we have another book from George R. R. Martin that is not the next in the A Song of Ice and Fire series.
Well, in 2045, I'm sure we'll get someone to read that and we can talk about it.
I mean, Martin's going to be long dead. They will,
and one of us will be by then, right? Like,
Shannon will say probably. It's him.
Yeah, see?
Statistically, I'm sure. But yeah, we're going to get another author to finish the A Song of Ice and Fire series, and it will likely be just a transcription of the TV show.
I love that thought. All right, he willed me to finish this book.
So what you're saying is I need to just watch the show and start writing.
Yeah. There you go.
I got a spec script.
Because I got super ticked off when I started like buying back in the day my Sailor Moon novels, mm-hmm. and then found out they're written by someone a year younger than me.
Ooh, or I twitched.
Oh.
And they're literally just taking the episodes and putting it in words.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I've read better fan fiction than those things.
Her, I did it again.
Oh, I saw it. All right, so in other comic book news, though, actual comic books, Storm is getting a new costume.
Woohoo!
Do we have a picture of this?
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Storm is getting a new costume, and she's going to be joining X-Men Red in August. I wish I had more to say about X-Men Red. I have all of the issues so far.
But you haven't started it?
Correct.
Same, brother.
Because Tom Taylor's writing it, and I love Tom Taylor. And like the team just sounds amazing. But yeah, I have not read a single issue yet, which is a real bummer. Because again, I love the team.
Ah, dang it, it's DeviantArt. I was really excited for a second because it looked awesome.
I mean, it looks pretty cool.
There's also just a lot of really awesome Storm fan art out there.
Yeah, because Storm is an awesome character, and a lot of people like Storm. So,
like, if that was it right there, totally be cool with it.
It always bums me out that very rarely is she used to her
full potential.
Yeah, because she is such like a, you know, isn't she like an alpha level powered mutant?
Yep.
But she never really gets treated like that.
No.
I mean, for a while, she was kind of the unofficial leader of the X-Men.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the new
that
one.
That looks legit. I'm not going to lie.
It's pretty awesome.
That's kind of an awesome design.
Yeah, it is. I like it a whole lot. The problem is she's surrounded by Omega-level mutants.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's really good and everything, and she's got a lot of leadership qualities to her. But then she's surrounded by, like, young and old Jean Grey now. And yeah, just all these Omega level mutants, and you know,
Scottie Pippen could have led the Bulls to a playoff run by himself. He just had Michael Jordan to help the entire time.
Right?
Yeah, that's Storm.
That kind of works out. Although, bad analogy to make on a nerd show. Most that I could hear the whoosh noise from a lot of our listeners.
That's fine.
I feel like enough people recognize Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, we Michael Jordan, Space Jam. Firsthand, I did get to Michael Jordan. We all know who Michael Jordan is,
right?
Because of Space Jam.
And I guess from context clues, people could have, okay, you know, I'll give it to you.
And
I'll
also, if half of the space had to have been from the 90s. We all knew Michael Jordan. So through osmosis, like, 30% of them who knew who Scottie Pippen was. Those 30 people, high five to me.
God, nah. Why? Why do you keep talking? All right.
This is why you're going to be the dead one by 2045. Someone's going to stab you.
That was actually going to be my bet.
I mean, yeah, that's probably the most likely scenario. So this next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com, including their social media links and all of their past log of podcasts, including their History of Gaming episodes. They do a new one at the last Wednesday of each month. They're solid listens, well-researched, and well-done. All right, so LEGO DC Supervillains announced trailer. It looks like you're going to be able to customize your own villain in the DC universe.
Fun.
And hang out with a bunch of villains.
I don't know how I feel about that.
What do you mean, customizing?
Okay, part of the fun for me for the LEGO games, because I do still plan on getting around to LEGO Marvel 2, is the story. Because those are pretty much how I played with Legos and action figures as a kid. Okay, so I have all of these characters that really don't have much of a reason to interact, but I'm just going to make them all interact in a way. And I was really looking forward to maybe a villain's story. Like, you have to, planning heists. Not, planning heists, but,
doing
super villain stuff because I firmly believe that, with the exception of a handful, that's not fair, but I really think that DC has a better list of villains than any other franchise.
Well, because of Batman.
I mean, because of Batman, but those are so good that that's all you need. I would take Batman's Rogues Gallery over the entirety of Marvel's villains.
I would also take Batman's Rogues Gallery over the entirety of comics books' Rogues Gallery.
But then when you throw in, Sinestro Corps and Reverse Flash and Grodd, and there's so many, even Superman has some really awesome villains. They just suck by comparison because they're only fighting Superman. So I was super into that. And putting in here's your avatar, your own create a character. I don't care about that person.
Now
I care about, I want to see how Scarecrow interacts with, Grundy.
Yes.
How would you feel if you were a supervillain in training and that was your character in the story, is you going through it with the villains?
I mean, I kind of feel like that's what we're going to get. I don't think they're going to do Sonic Forces where you're just oh, hey, this person who will save the day has just been here all along. Hi, unnamed person, that's you and you're best friends with Sonic. I really don't want them to do that. I would rather it be you're just kind of a side character. I also really don't want it to be you're the one that ends up turning good to stop them from taking over the world.
Because that defeats the point.
Yeah, that would be a real bummer.
Yeah, because I do like the idea of you guys having to escape from the heroes. Mm-hmm. Because obviously you can't fight them, you'll lose.
And even doing all of these crazy over the top, okay, so now I have to build a mountain to throw giant rocks at Super, something stupid like that. Because that's just how those games steer. I'm not going to be able to stitch together a bunch of corpses that I killed and sit on my throw and make them all yell, all hail the king.
Now we know what's inside of his brain and I'm a lot more scared.
No, that's new 52 Joker, homie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dalton. So you could just make your creative character, though, Kite Man.
Hell yeah.
God, I love Kite Man now.
I know. I hate you, Tom King. Quit making me stupid stuff.
Right.
That being said, totally buying the deluxe edition of this game.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm buying it. This is, it's not even going to be a thought. It's just that's a direction. And again, I'm judging it before it comes out. I'm sure I will end up loving it because I just love the LEGO games in general, especially the ones based on DC and Marvel. So I'm going to buy it. I'm probably going to enjoy it. But just my gut reaction of seeing that is just oh.
That's a little bit of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Kills the hype a hair. And something else that I really wish that I could get hyped about, Fallout 76 got a teaser trailer.
I'm sorry, Hunter.
Yeah, there's nobody at this table really that's big Fallout fans.
Nope.
Really?
I love those games.
I've literally never heard you talk about them.
I watched Shannon play them.
I've played 3 New Vegas and 4, beat them all, and the DLC.
I have a cousin that really likes them.
It's not a social game.
No, I mean, it's definitely
not. No, but it's also, I have seen Shannon play at the store. I have heard Hunter talk about it a lot. Hunter and Shannon will talk about it. but I have not heard you like chime into those conversations or like seen you play at the. No, that's not true. I've seen you play at the store, but only because the Xbox version allowed mods. So you were running around Fallout 4 with like a lightsaber.
Yeah. So that was a thing that did happen.
So yes. I just assumed that you were playing it because you got to play with a lightsaber and not because it was a Fallout game.
Yeah, no, I've played all those games.
Huh, fair enough. Yeah. All right, well, then you can weigh in a whole lot on this because we don't know a whole lot of information about it other than the timeline. Shelter 76 is apparently in the lore as one of the control groups and one of the earliest groups to be let out of the vaults after the war. And the game takes place in, I think it was 2102 is what I read.
I think so,
300 years before the original game.
Well, yeah, 300 years. And it's 300 years after the bomb drop.
Yeah, but 300 years before.
I don't think it's that far, is it?
It was
300 years before three.
Yeah. But it's only because it's only like 80 years after the bombs.
After the war.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, this one is supposed to be like 20 years after the war, I thought is what I read.
I don't know if it's that short. It's something like that, but it's like a super short amount of time comparatively to
the rest of the
games. Every other game we've gotten.
The only other game that takes place before this one is Brotherhood of Steel, was 2077. Then the next game in line doesn't take place until almost 40 years after this one, is what I read in my brief research of this. So we don't know a whole lot about what we're getting. A lot of people there's wild speculation. There apparently will be an online component to this one, and that's got a lot of people really worried that they're just going to give us ESO but Fallout. Honestly, like if everybody else in the group got that, I would, and I'd play it with you guys, but... as of right now, I don't see that happening. So, one thing I did see, one of the more popular theories with some of the information that people have, is that it might be a survival crafting style game.
Rust clone.
Kind of like The Forest or
Rust. DayZ.
I don't know what Rust is. So that's
one of the rumors coming out, because Jason Schreier from Kotaku has talked a lot about it, including saying like a lot of people are going to be expecting a New Vegas or mainline Fallout game, and it's not going to be that. A lot of people are going to be very disappointed that you're not getting that. Apparently, it also is going to lean heavily on the base building aspect of 4. So,
which was fun. Like I didn't mind the base building of 4.
Because there's going to be a whole lot of like creating
settlements.
Because again, you're one of the first groups out of the vault, so that makes sense. And I think it's taking place in Virginia, is what seemed to be the case there. So yeah, a lot of people are thinking it's going to be that kind of like survival crafting thing. It will have a story mode to it, and it will have a single player, but it will also have a multiplayer. Again, all speculation. We're not completely sure what exactly we're going to get.
No one knows what's going on.
We're really, really confident that it is not going to be like Fallout 3, 4, or New Vegas. That's about all we got.
Also, some of the places that are like Jason Schreier is citing a Reddit user who predicted the name Fallout Vault 76, and who is also one of the people saying that it's not going to be like a mainline single-player RPG. Like the other Fallout games.
Yep. Which is a bummer.
And honestly, starting at 3, I guess.
If they make it like that crafting survival style where you have to like build up a base and like forage and scavenge for stuff and play through the story that way, I might honestly play it because those games are like really cathartic for me for some reason. Like I got really into Ark. The Forest I just tried recently and really, really like it. And some other similar games. Basically, it's like Minecraft but with realistic graphics and physics engines. And
do you like the Metal Gear series?
I mean, a little.
Oh, I got great news for you then.
Uh-oh.
You need to check out Metal Gear Survive.
No, I don't.
Never mind. The old bait and switch.
No. Bethesda saw that and was like, hey, what if we did this but good?
Honestly, yeah. Like, I'd be all for that.
They did say there's not going to be super mutants. They did say there's not going to be, like...
Which makes sense because like
the timeline
would predict like the, I don't know, it's one of those things. Like I was talking to somebody at the store, I think this was Friday night, where they mentioned it, and somebody, because like a popular going theory is it's going to be a battle royale game, Like I'm that one.
Almost certain it's not going to be that.
Well, yeah, but it's one of those things because, like, oh, 76 people like that. Like, but it's very much based off of Fallout 76. And I said, here's the thing. Whatever they do with it having multiplayer, I'm not going to like because Fallout's one of those games that I play because I don't like dealing with people. You're going to make me deal with people. That being said, still going to buy it. We're going to be talking about another game in a minute that's going to make me say a lot of things I don't like about it, but I will also add the caveat, I'm going to buy it, like, because I bought Fallout 4 whenever it came out, too, because that came out my like right at the beginning of my senior year of college, and I bought it like with Shannon. Well, it was right before I started hanging out here, but I did buy that game brand new.
And well, then the game that, what?
And just like, oh, I had a thought about it. Oh, and it's, I don't think it's going to be a, I think we're past the point that a developer can just put out a battle royal game. Like, I don't think you're going to, you got to do something real special to be able to float a game that is only that mode.
Especially, I think it'll only be Fallout. Like,
see, and that's what I mean. So, yeah. Like, I feel like if they do a Fallout BR mode, it'll just be a mode. Like, you won't even necessarily, it won't be a main component, it'll just be there. It'll be like the Blackout mode in Black Ops 4, from all sources we've seen, Battlefield V is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to have a Battle Royale.
It'll have a Battle Royale mode, so it's, I think we're at the point where now it's just like, okay.
That's going to be a mode
in the game. It's a mode. It's just like Fortnite and PUBG between the two of them, like, you kind of got the market covered. It's like, we're not going to see many team-based team shooters, or character-based team shooters come out.
Right.
Because, like, why would you... I mean, to be fair, though, people kept making all sorts of MMOs even shortly after WoW was declared the emphatic number one.
Because, I mean, everybody kept trying to just jump into the MMO hype because everybody was playing MMOs. But, yeah, no, like, we have, you know, so many of those character-based shooters now, and we have so many of those Battle Royale games, and even Fortnite is a mode, technically. It's just free.
Yeah.
But either way, we will there will be a single-player component to it, is my understanding, regardless of anything else.
Yeah, you won't... maybe. Like, because I guess I'm just going to the Jason Schreier, because he tweeted, because we'll find out way more at E3. Bethesda has a, like...
Huge
I think they have, a two-hour slot to do presentations.
They're not which gonna, is gonna, they're not gonna mention it. It's gonna make me itchy.
No, they will.
They will. They absolutely will.
They just want, and I think that's why we got this announcement weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, all of the speculation can get out. So when they do come out, it's like, hey, so this is actually a online base building game where you have to work together with other users to, you know, create your own camps, or you can go and steal loot from other, you know, other players' encampments or something like that.
Yeah.
And people won't just immediately turn on them. Now there's a little bit. It's the same thing with, we're going to get into the Pokemon stuff here.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the same thing. It's like, no, we know what you want and we know what you're expecting. We're trying something different. You're still probably going to get that thing that you're looking for. But in the meantime, hey, here's this thing. Check this out.
And before we get there, the game that Dalton was referring to earlier, we have Assassin's Creed Odyssey is official.
That was not the one I was talking about.
Oh, really?
I have not bought an Assassin's Creed game since Unity.
I thought you got Origins.
Mm-mm. Huh. I tried playing Origins here, and they changed
it. Oh, that's right, because you didn't like the Dark Souls type.
Yeah. Loved God of War for some reason.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Assassin's Creed Odyssey has been confirmed. We'll get more information at E3. All we know now is Ancient Greece. / Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. I forgot which.
It's Greece.
Might
have to get that.
Like, yeah, no, the first thing we got was the keychain. It was like the semi-leak, and then they would have confirmed it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I say that every time I see one of the Assassin's Creed games, like for Origins, I had zero interest in that timeline. But I really like Ancient Greece, so I might end up checking that one out.
Play God of War.
Yeah.
Like the original trilogy of God of War.
I loved those games.
Yeah, just go back. Like, that's going to be better.
Probably.
It's just that I've never liked an Assassin's Creed game.
I loved Assassin's Creed until 3.
They could be, they would be great if they just took out all of the, future stuff.
The modern days / future.
Like, those are hands down the worst part of a game.
Yep, for sure.
Like, hey, here's all this fun stuff. Sit through this, and then you get to do fun stuff.
And I understand.
How about
you just
let us do the fun stuff?
No. See, but don't you want to have an 18-minute walking tour of an office building before we let you be a pirate?
No.
But the plot, you're wrong.
The plot is so important.
Yeah. The I genuinely loved that plot. Like, I'm not even doing it to be contrary to you. Like, because we've had this conversation,
right,
about Assassin's Creed, where I loved it up until Unity, because I tried playing Unity, I couldn't get into it because it was broken, and Syndicate I tried at the store, couldn't really get into it. Origins I tried, and they completely changed the combat, which it's one of those things, like, because I said, I was like, I hate that they changed the combat. Yes, the Assassin's Creed combat wasn't perfect when it first came out, but it stayed consistent, and they fixed it to where it's now just like, oh, no, we're just going to do something else. But I'm not playing Dark Souls. I'm playing Assassin's Creed.
I mean, they had combat perfected in Brotherhood. I don't know why they kept making changes.
Yeah, and like,
that was so fun.
To be fair, like, their sales were dipping with every, because it was a yearly release, and they just kind of slap them in a new location.
Because Syndicate was the one where they were like, all right, we're going to give it 2 years. And then I think they gave Origins like a year and a half or something like that.
Origins had the biggest gap.
Yeah, Origins had the biggest gap by far.
Okay.
Like, it was the first one that didn't have a calendar. Like, whatever year it came out, if it came out in 17, there was not an Assassin's Creed game released in 16.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that there wasn't a calendar year release like a Madden or Call of Duty.
Because there for a while, Assassin's Creed was an annual release, and then... Yeah, Origins was the first one that was not an annual release.
See, and I really like, and I'm super interested in, like, Ancient Egypt. Like, if it was any other series, like, I might even like this one. But just, like, I've not enjoyed it. The story bogged me down so much, I never even went back to Black Flag. Like, before I got to do anything cool. It was just like, okay, I went through the tutorial, which is just following someone. Then I got to the port town where I had to follow someone. And then there was an 18-minute... futuristic, everything's just a white room where I'm following someone and they're talking to me about stuff that's not being a pirate.
Like, those games would be, and I understand people like the plot, and that's fine. Like, I know it's a deep involved plot and it's interesting, just not to me.
Give me a cinematic. Make me follow someone. Just give me a cinematic.
And even don't give me an 18-minute cinematic.
I would honestly rather
this ain't Solid Snake.
Cut it out completely.
Yeah.
Like, let me just play the games as the assassins in that time period. Sounds way more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're running a little bit low on time. We still got Pokemon to talk about, so I'm going to... Mega Man 11 pre-order trailer. We got a new trailer there. October 2nd, 2018 is the release date on that. We also got to see the Twin Gear ability in action, which is going to be a new thing. It's like kind of like a... what do you call it? Bullet time.
Mm-hmm.
Situation.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Nah, me neither.
I need, again, it's just one of those things where I need to play it, but I'm so used to Mega Man and like that core mechanic of jump and shoot.
Jump and shoot, man.
That's all I need.
Jump
and
shoot.
Let me shoot lemons and jump, and that's. You nailed it.
Yeah.
The fact that you guys keep quoting that one YouTube video makes me so happy.
It's called Sequelitis.
I know what it's called.
You go from left to right, you shoot at enemies, and then you get a robot, and you fight them.
And then you get some power-ups, and then it
changes your color, and you get to do cool stuff.
But now you actually look different. Like, the game looks really neat.
Oh, no, it looks cool. I'm not as down on the art style as I originally was, just because, again, like, I know what Mega Man looks like. Why are you doing this kind of pseudo-3D thing? That's unnecessary. I still think it's unnecessary, but like
seeing it in motion, okay.
It's not going to keep me from buying the game.
Because it looks like the gameplay and everything else is still like very much Mega Man, just they made it look a little prettier.
Right.
Which, that's a mistake they made in other Mega Man versions where they made it look prettier, sort of, and they changed up how everything played.
Right.
Yeah. Hey,
don't you want a top-down
full
3D?
So now Pokemon got a big press conference, and there's a lot of big information in this. We'll go ahead and start with Pokemon Quest. It's available now on the Switch. Lindsay has it.
It's different. It's very much kind of like Mystery Dungeon in a way, except the Pokemon move on their own, and they attack enemies on their own, and you just have their other abilities that you can tell them to use. Which is where I'm kind of like, I'm not really involved in it, because they just kind of do what they want, and then when enemies come up, I hit buttons to help them.
And don't you kind of, like, pick their formation?
No.
No? Okay.
You can pick which members you have in your party. I guess you technically can, depending on which slot you put them in, but they all have the same formation.
Okay.
And if one of their attacks goes on longer, they'll leave that one behind, and then it has to catch up with them.
Hmm.
So, I don't really have a yay or nay opinion of it yet, but then along with their battling, they pick up items, you go back to your base camp, and you have a cooking pot, basically, that you make food that attracts more Pokemon for you to take on adventures.
And it's free, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's
so that's, yeah, that's
I'm sure there's a buy extra stuff option, because like you have to go on so many adventures for your food to get done, but I ain't doing that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also supposed to be available for mobile devices by the end of this month.
Okay. You know what Pokemon spinoff game that I really want to see a sequel of?
Conquest?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's like
please.
It's like my favorite Pokemon game.
Yeah, no,
game.
Conquest was amazing.
So good.
Well, because it's basically a Fire Emblem game. Just like
with
the
Pokemon.
But the heroes have Pokemon with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. It was so much
let
fun.
Let me get a main game before we move on to any of that.
I'm burnt out on those. Give me Conquest 2.
I just want like another Battle Revolutions or Colosseum or Gale of Darkness.
See, I would lose my mind for another stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that to be a full release, though. Because there was never, to me, Stadium was cool as a spectacle for about 20 minutes. And then I have seen all of the Pokemon in 3D that I wanted to see.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just like, okay, there's nothing here. Like, it's just a battle sim.
Yeah, the first Stadium, definitely. But they, like, the later games, they added a whole bunch of stuff to it.
I liked Colosseum and Gale of Darkness because it does have an RPG story you go mm-hmm. through. But it's
isn't
still
it, like, super short?
Probably. It's just I wasn't a big gamer at the time, so it took me a while to get through it.
Cause
plus if you kill one, you're done, you ain't getting it back.
Nuzlocke run.
Pretty much.
The first 10 hours of any Pokemon game is my favorite. Uh-huh. After then, like the grinding kicks in and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to
understandable
fight
with
20
the exception
more enemies
of Diamond and Pearl, because then I just went underground and dug fossils constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair. And that's the one I never really got super well. That and Black and White.
Well, Diamond and Pearl, when I had it, I had a 45-minute commute to work.
Yeah,
and I wasn't the one driving. So.
No, yeah, I remember that. Whenever you guys lived in mounds,
yeah.
She dug up so many fossils.
Uh-huh.
Had to do something in that.
You
drive.
Don't know how many fossil Pokemon are in my ranch on my Wii still. Between them and Woopers from the Safari Zone, because I can't get rid of a Wooper. They're too cute.
They're sitting in the Wii just being like, when's she going to let us out?
So now then, before anybody gets really, really angry about us talking about Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, assuming you haven't already seen all the news related to it, they are doing a mainline Pokemon game without any of the integration we're about to talk about in 2019.
Yes.
Second half of 2019.
Yeah.
That being said, they still said that Pikachu and Eevee is still a main core RPG.
Yes.
It's just not the next...
Yes, it's not the next gen.
Right.
All right, because we got Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, and from the looks of it, it's supposed to be a remake of the first gen.
Of Yellow.
It's a remake of Yellow.
Specifically.
Yeah, yep. Yellow specifically. And you can choose between Pikachu or Eevee. You're not playing Red or Blue. That's still accurate, right?
Yes. Yeah, they still have a male and female character, and then based on whether you get Let's Go Pikachu or Let's Go Eevee, you will be gifted the counterpart of that one, and you still get to choose a starter Pokemon.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, so you get both.
I didn't know you got both.
From what I understand and stuff that I've watched, you still get to choose Charmander, Bulbasaur, or Squirtle, and then you are gifted the Pikachu or the Eevee.
Oh.
Dalton just got irrationally happy, though. Did you see that you can't evolve Eevee?
I'm fine with that. I'll transfer a Vaporeon from Go.
Okay, fair
enough. I will have Eevee on my shoulder, and Vaporeon will be following me all the time.
Y'all don't think a Bulbasaur will be sitting on my head?
Bulbasaur won't sit on your head.
It'll follow
Eevee
you.
Will sit on your head, or Pikachu will sit on your shoulder, and Bulbasaur will be behind you.
Y'all don't think I won't download a glitch that makes Bulbasaur sit on my head?
I don't. So I thought it was you still would only have one out at a time.
No, you can have both.
Okay.
They ride on you, and you can still have any Pokemon in your party follow behind you, which is awesome.
Because they also did the thing where it's like, you will also, like, for the larger Pokemon, mm-hmm. like, you could ride Onix. That wasn't just like the HM ride.
If it is a large enough Pokemon, you can ride on their backs. I don't know the specifics on mm-hmm. it, but they did specifically say in the press interview, they did specifically say you will be able to ride on some of the backs of the larger Pokemon.
Yeah, I did see that. Like, pretty much any Pokemon that you think could be rideable is rideable.
Yeah. Y'all don't think I won't be riding dirty on a Venusaur?
You will be. I'm sure you will be. And I'm going to be flying around on a Dragonite having a grand old time. Now, the one part about this game that makes me really, I say hesitant, they're integrating a whole lot of Pokemon Go features, because this game is a whole lot of trying to get those the new Pokemon fans from Pokemon Go involved in the franchise.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot of integration with that. You'll get a special Pokemon just for having Pokemon Go.
A new Pokemon.
Yes. Yeah, brand new one.
Yep.
That'll be in the next,
it's you probably going to be a game. Gen 8. It's just,
yeah. Exactly. It'd be kind of like, yeah, how we had Togepi before we had any of the other Gen 2 Pokemon.
Or, like, in Gale of Darkness, they showed Munchlax and Bonsly.
There you go. So, yeah, it'll be a situation like that. And you can transfer Pokemon from Go.
Yes.
You can also...
There will be gifts that we can upload to Go, but I don't know if that's going to be transferring Pokemon back or if it will be items or if it will just be that specific Pokemon to send it to Go.
Because the way I looked at it from the Go thing is you can transfer them into Go, but it's not in the main game. Like, isn't it like in its own little area of the game?
The Poke
There's a Poke Ranch.
You transfer
or something
the
like
ranch. What I'm assuming is probably going to be the case is you move it into the ranch, and then it'll be like the Poke Park when you were transferring your Game Boy Advance games to your DS games.
Okay.
That you had to re-catch them, but you're guaranteed to catch them.
Oh, okay. Because it's one of those like, cool. Oh, that's going to be awesome for people that caught a Zapdos. Being like,
I was going to say,
and now I got him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's probably going to be like a gate on it, so you're not just going to be able to roll up to Brock with like Articuno and
honestly, if it's like the other one, you won't be able to do it until you beat the main game.
Yeah,
that would make
because
sense
because you couldn't access the Poke Park until after you beat the Elite Four.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that makes a lot of sense. So
I'm a lot more okay with that now.
Yeah, the one Pokemon Go integration, yeah, that's the word, that I'm really not okay with is how you catch the Pokemon.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm confused on, well, I'm not so much confused, but on the fence of, is the fact that there's no random encounters. Like, you're going to see every Pokemon in the grass, pretty much.
Which I like that.
I like the idea of.
Give me the Dragon Quest style,
because
that's something
choose
I've
my encounters.
That's something I've wanted in a Pokemon game forever.
To actually see them as opposed to just be, oh, look, I'm in a giant field of grass.
And all of a sudden, like, oh, here's another Zapdos, or another Zubat.
You can avoid all the Rattata and Pidgeys and
especially
whatnot.
The thing that I don't get is, so there, while there's not technically like random, but like there will be Pokemon that you see, there's no battling with the wild Pokemon.
Yes, and that's the part I'm kind of on the fence with is like, there's still supposed to be a way that they're leveling up on things, but I don't know how grinding's going to work.
Yeah, that
because you will still be able to battle, like, and it has a traditional battle system.
It has like the four moves,
trainer,
but those are only with trainer battles.
Yeah. So unless they have trainer battles more readily available, or you get more experience from those trainer battles,
or you can redo trainer battles.
That too.
And they may even have just straight up like, I don't know, they might redo the Pokemon gyms where you can actually train Pokemon at gyms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because Pokemon in this game will have CP.
Yep.
And level.
So that when
and
you
those
transfer
will be separate.
It to Go, you still have your CPs.
Also,
vice
it's
versa.
Full. You can play the entire game as co-op. I think that's kind of cool.
No, yeah, that's awesome.
I'm not a huge fan of the fact that apparently it looks like you will not be able to turn motion controls off.
Nope. Yeah.
So to catch Pokemon, you physically have to do.
No, they showed that you can move the actual joystick and then push a button to throw it.
Okay.
Oh, because I didn't see that either.
Yeah, I saw that too because that was my biggest thing is like if I have to
I'm getting
this,
that Pokeball.
I was getting ready to say, I was like, believe me, I'm going to be buying that friggin' $60 Pokewalker Pokeball.
Yeah. If I can play it with Dark Souls, I'm in twice just for that Let's Play alone.
Oh, no, you know someone's going to.
Yeah,
someone's
like,
going to. Do that
for kicks and giggles. I want to try that one time.
From what I was watching on things, you don't have to do the motion control. You can just go through the buttons.
I still wish I could just kind of like push a button. The biggest concern, because I've been going back and forth on whether or not like I've always been excited for this. Like I'm gonna get it. It's not even a question. But I kind of waver on how excited I am. I have already re-downloaded Pokemon Go. Just because I'd had it uninstalled forever ago, but okay, well, I might as well because I'm going to be using it in November.
Yeah, November.
So
this will give you time to read.
But they also
get some stuff.
They also said that from this point forward, the Pokemon franchise is being split like this, where you have the Let's Go series being super open to casual players, and that's going to be like a way more casual game, and then you have your mainline Pokemon series. And that's going to be, you know, the one that we get second half of next year. I'm worried because a lot of the stuff that I really like about Pokemon, I feel like we're going to get in that casual game that we may not get as, like, it may not be as, you know, fun in the next, like,
I'm a little worried about that, too.
I don't want to have to worry about IV numbers and, like, what kind of...
I don't think they'll go to that extent.
And, like, what nature they are. Or, you know, and I want to have any Pokemon that I put at my number one slot, I want that to be the one behind me. Or even just to be like, oh, I want, you know, yeah, I'm not worried about leveling up my Primeape right now, but I still want him to follow me.
Yeah.
Like, I want that kind of option. I just...
Like, where it's like, I want you to follow me, but I want you to come out and battle first.
Mm-hmm. I know we're going to get, like, a lot of... Like, we're... Between E3 and, like, there's undoubtedly going to be, like, a huge direct between now yeah. and when the game yes. comes out. And we're gonna, it's just like, oh, I don't like the waiting and not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I don't know, there's more... The leaks that came out before Pikachu and Eevee, I think, were a combination of this and the one for 2019. Mm-hmm. Because they're simultaneously working
right.
on these games at the same time. And some of the leaks are matching up exactly with what they've come on here. And then some of them aren't, but they're leading up with kind of what would be coming up in the name la 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 English, Lindsay, in the mainline game, mm-hmm. that it's going to be Gen 8 and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just want my underground back. I want to dig for fossils.
Maybe.
And in someone did a screen cap in Pikachu and Eevee that there's a little hole in the wall, so secret bases might be involved again.
Ooh, I like the cool. secret bases.
Especially with
me
the co-op.
Me too, because I fill them with plushies.
Especially with the co-op. Like, in real life. Uh-huh. It's, especially with, like, the co-op element, like, going into people's secret bases uh-huh. and being able to, like, that'd be cool. Which
be
that
able get, be able to get flags and stuff.
It's worth noting that the co-op is local only. So yes. it's not like you're going
to
yep. be able to...
Someone in your house needs to pick up the other Joy-Con and shake the stupid thing, and I think, then they can play with you.
So, like, if I understood this correctly, if you brought, like... So, say, like, I went over to your apartment, Lindsay, and I mm-hmm. had my Pokeball.
Yes.
Could I then have my character with my Pokemon in your game?
I am assuming that that's what happens, because when you catch the Pokemon, both people get it.
Yeah.
I see, and I don't... I think you need your game there.
I don't know.
Like, I think the way I understood it is you would need to bring your Switch. You could use the Pokeball.
Okay,
to play,
so this is something like.
But I think you would need to bring your Switch because that's what's going on.
So it's local co-op, but not local to one system.
Right.
Possibly.
Unless you maybe, like, you might be able to show up as, like, a guest.
Because, like, they didn't really go into the specifics of that. They just yeah. showed co-op.
But everything that yeah. they, like, anytime you saw two people playing together,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they were each only using one Joy-Con.
Yeah,
but there were two.
They
switches.
They were both bad.
Okay, I didn't notice the two
okay,
switches.
I didn't pay attention to that.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure there were. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you can do it without having your copy of the game there.
Fair enough.
Which that's how every other Pokemon game has worked.
Yeah.
I know you could
we'll find out.
Yeah.
Because you can do the double battles. Like, if you both hit them with the Pokeball at the same time.
Yeah. Tag team increases... against that youngster Joey.
Exactly. it increases your chances of catching the Pokemon. And if you do catch it, both of you get that Pokemon. Because it says you guys share the loot. And that was because I was thinking at first that it was just, you know, somebody's just jumping into your game
uh-huh.
and can help improve your chances of catching something. But then when it said, because it did specifically say you'll be sharing the rewards.
Yeah.
So I was like, so you have your own character in it, or do you have just...
It just viciously rips the Pokemon in half when you get part of a Pokemon.
Oh, God. oh.
But, like,
also...
At the waist or vertical?
Also, that little Pokeball, apparently, like...
Just it, catch two giraffes.
You can reload your Pokemon into it and take it with you, so it's almost like a Gigapet.
That's messed up.
This
like,
is the,
throwing that fun fact...
Because Pikachu laughing at you when you're moving the ball around.
Don't like that at all. Hey, get me out of my home, master. Again, I'm going back to the Pokemon calling
Forget
me master.
That, I'm taking it to work with me.
It's gonna be like, I want to see all the cool stuff, master. Like, that's messed up.
This was the... But they also said, like, the Pokeball's only going to have, like, a three-hour
battery life.
So it's not like... that's not going to be an all-day
like
thing.
It's like the Pokewalker back
but,
in the day.
No, but it also will... This is basically going to replace your Pokemon Go Plus.
Uh-huh.
Because it'll do all of the benefits you get with that with your Plus. Mm-hmm. This does that as well as being able to be a controller for
okay, that I haven't had researched
game.
Yet, so...
Yeah.
So we all That'd need...
So. I mean, yeah, so I mean, I'm probably going to get one just because it's like I'm a...
I just want the Pokeball.
Oh no! Yeah, I like.
Yeah, I just kind of want the trinket.
It's that, but I'm probably gonna like use it to play because uh-huh. the game only does require one Joy-Con.
Yeah,
Like, yeah. You can play the entire game.
And I'm
going
to feel better holding that thing than one of those itty-bitty Joy-Cons, because even when I'm playing Mario Kart with that itty-bitty thing, I'm like...
turning it sideways is a nightmare.
And the worst part is, I have the smallest hands of everyone at this table, and I have problems with it.
Yeah, Mandy's the only one I know that likes using just the single Joy-Con.
Because, like, even, like, turd. Shannon got me the wheel for playing Mario Kart, and, like, the wheel is the size of, like, the palm of my hand.
Yeah, it's a little bitty wheel.
I'm like, can I put this wheel in a bigger wheel, and then we'll go from there.
Wheelception.
I heard you like wheels. All right, guys, that's going to do it for our show, and we'll see you guys next week.